This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03 on Thursday afternoon, June 8th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour, presented by the Village of Bedford Park. I'm Rob Hart. Governor Pritzker is courting EV battery makers with lucrative incentives for Illinois plants. We'll cover that in our next segment. But right now, in a surprising turn, jobless claims surge to their highest level since the fall of 2021. Joining us now to discuss this is Peter Cardillo, Chief Market Economist at Spartan Capital Securities in New York. Peter, thank you for joining us today. How do you interpret this sudden jump in first-time jobless claims?
Yes, I think, there might be a little bit of a reason for this, and that reason is simply that we've had the holiday, Memorial Day, and so people did not file, and then of course they filed combined with the previous week, with the post holiday week, and so that may have somewhat expanded the numbers. And of course, if you look at some of the factors that are involved there, I think it indicates that perhaps if this continues, that we finally have reached a plateau in the job market. And that means that we should see less jobs creation going forward.
But it sounds like everybody is taking a wait and see attitude about this if the trend continues next Thursday.
Exactly. Like I said, an aberration, you might say, due to the holiday. So we have to see if this trend continues. Now, we've had some previous back-to-back weeks where we saw claims go up, but then of course that reversed. And the key is now, is this for real or is this just another aberration?
Data dependent has been the North Star of Fed Chair Jay Powell during the tightening cycle. Is this one data point that could potentially make a difference as they decide about raising or pausing interest rates in June, or is it simply one of many?
No, I think it's one of many. I don't think this seals the Fed's decision next week. I do believe that the chances for a skip is probably greater than a hike. And of course, if we look what happened with the Bank of Australia this week and the Bank of Canada, both turned around and raised interest rates and basically said that the job is not over due to inflation. But here in the States, I think, the Fed probably has the luxury, when I say the luxury, in the sense that, inflation, while it's still very elevated, has not really reversed. And if you looked at the labor report data that we got last week at the beginning of June, you'll notice that we had two consecutive months of where hourly wages rose by 0.3%. So that simply indicates that while inflation remains elevated in other sectors of the economy as well, but we're not accelerating, and that's good news for the Fed. So I think that's where the Fed might say, okay, we're going to skip and we're going to look at the data next month, and if need be, then we'll begin raising again.
Peter Cardillo, Chief Market Economist at Spartan Capital Securities in New York, thank you for joining us today. Coming up, Governor Pritzker woos EV battery makers. We'll have the details.
Investing 60 minutes each weekday for planning for the future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Governor Pritzker is personally courting EV battery makers to expand into Illinois. Joining us now with the details is Greg Hines, columnist for Crane Chicago Business. Greg, thank you for joining us today. Some of these reports indicate that he's having multiple conversations with multiple companies. Does that mean they will all relocate or locate a battery plant in Illinois? Or is this a case where, to quote the great philosopher Meatloaf, two out of three ain't bad?
At this point, Rob, I think one out of three wouldn't be bad from Illinois. And the fact of the matter is Illinois kind of started out ahead in the EV race, largely because we have Rivian downstate, which converted the old Mitsubishi plant. Then we got a bus producer up in the Chicago area. But to really anchor that and attract other ones, we really need a battery maker, because batteries are critical to electric vehicles. And we haven't been able to get one yet, even though they've been putting them in all kinds of announcements in Ohio and Indiana and Michigan and Georgia and places like that. So the state has now gone through two rounds of incentives, and the latest round of incentives is really rich. The state says it puts us in a position to compete with anybody else. And the centerpiece is a $400 million deal closing fund, is what they call it. That we've given you the tax breaks, we've given this and that, but you need a little bit more. Boom, we can give you up to $400 million to close the deal. And they're taking that to a series of companies Illinois, by all indications, is on the short list for all three. I hear good things. Everybody's optimistic, but until it happens, it hasn't happened.
And some of these plants, or at least one, could be located on the fringes of the Chicago area, just beyond Joliet, in Morris, southwest of Chicago.
Yeah, what I know and what I reported is that Pritzker was out there personally about a week and a half ago. He literally walked out of a bunch of negotiations in Springfield to take a quick drive there, met with the CEO of the company that's said to be a European battery maker, and they toured the site. There was a helicopter, and they put more than $600 million in incentives on the table. I've heard that from multiple sources who are in a position to know. The folks in Morris won't specifically confirm that because there's non-disclosure agreements and this kind of things. But with a nod and a wink, they say, "Oh, we've got this wonderful 400 acres here. It's in a TIF district, and we're looking for something special here, not just ordinary manufacturing, something really special. We got lots of people courting it." That all sounds very promising, but again, until it happens, it hadn't happened.
What are the wins outside of just the jobs and the economic development? Is it a win to just tell the rest of the country that Illinois did land a battery plant?
I think it's a little more fundamental than that. For most of the last 50 years, Rob, Illinois has been on the short end of economic development. All the industries of tomorrow have tended to go other places. They've gone to Georgia, they've gone to Florida, they've gone to California. This, for a change, is for Illinois. It gives us a chance to get in on the ground floor of something that really is going to be going for decades and decades. Everybody knows that the internal combustion engine, sooner or later, is going to be phased out pretty much, and we're going to go electric. But whether we can make that transition, given our history of bad business conditions here and high taxes, that's the trick. Pritzker seems to be really trying. I give him a lot of credit. On the incentive side, we seem to be matching up, and we certainly had a labor force, but our property taxes are high, and there's some other things that the business community doesn't like about doing business here. So we'll see if it's enough. But, if you don't try, you don't get. Hopefully we'll get.
Greg Hines, columnist, Crane Chicago Business, thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, tips on how teens and grads can cash in on the hot labor market.
Discussing the news affecting your money, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The tight labor market is giving teens and recent grads more job opportunities at higher pay. Joining us now with some key advice is Michelle Reisdorf, Chicago jobs expert at Robert Half here in Chicago. Michelle, thank you for joining us today. Is the jobs market for teenagers so tight, so hot, that the teenager in your life should get the Armani suit and the expensive sunglasses and a phone and just kick back on a desk somewhere and try to play the hot dog stand off against the golf course?
Well, I don't know about all of that, but they certainly have a lot more opportunities available to them for work, and yes, definitely at higher pay.
And you said this a couple of weeks ago, that this may be the best earning environment for summer jobs and summer job seekers possibly ever.
Definitely. You know, pay rates have risen over the course of the last year or two based on demand. You know, even minimum wages have moved up. And so with such a tight labor market, teens have an opportunity to see some of the best pay they've ever seen.
And it's not just summer jobs that were, you know, what you think are the traditional ones, at a restaurant or a golf course or at a pool as a lifeguard. Some teenagers do get summer jobs in an office.
Absolutely. We work with a lot of college students, you know, home for the summer, even graduates, that have an opportunity to get a professional 8-to-5 job if they want it, because again, the demand is so high. If you've got good skills, good communication skills, computer skills, et cetera, you can certainly take on entry-level roles in an office.
And then this is a case, if you are applying for an office job, chances are you are filling out an application online or submitting a resume online. And if that's the case, AI could be your best friend or your worst enemy. And there are some things that you can do when uploading your resume to make sure that AI is on your side.
Absolutely. You want to make sure that you have a very clean resume, consistent, that it lists out your skills, your education, anything that would be a good match for what's required for the job. And just be cautious of not being too creative. You know, we've never recommended pictures be on a resume, so you want to stay away from that. You know, or any type of fancy hyperlinks, et cetera. You know, again, clean is always the best, whether it's human eyes that are laying on that resume or some sort of AI tool.
Yeah, because there are so many resume templates that you can get even for free now that are very complicated, and they're designed to be eye-catching to a human resume reader, but don't really mean a hill of beans to an algorithm.
Absolutely, absolutely. And even to human eyes, right? Too busy distracts away from what are your true skills. And so that's what you want to hone in and focus on. Keep it clean and consistent. And oftentimes, you know, connect with your referrals, because that's probably what's going to get you the job.
Michelle Reisdorf, Chicago jobs expert with Robert Half in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today. Still ahead, it's Technology Thursday. We'll take a look at how artificial intelligence will play an important role in advancing space tourism.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station, News Radio 105.9. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Charges have been filed against the boyfriend for concealing the death of a woman who had been reported missing last week. Air quality alerts remain in the Northeast due to smoke reaching the area from wildfires burning in Canada. On this Technology Thursday, we'll examine how advancements in artificial intelligence technology will enable new frontiers in space tourism. Plus, we'll look at how artificial intelligence advancements will impact the future of the shipping industry. WBBM Business, the markets are higher. The Dow is up 147 points. The NASDAQ is up 100. And the S&P 500 is up 19. 72 degrees right now in Chicago under mostly sunny skies at 12:31. And topping our news at the half hour, a boyfriend has been charged with concealing the death of a 33-year-old woman from Logan Square who had been reported missing last week. Here's WBBM's Bernie Tafoya.
Police say Brittany Battaglia's body was found in her boyfriend Genesis Silva's home in the 2000 block of North Kimball, about a block from where Battaglia had lived. Silva is charged with hiding her death and obstructing a police officer. He's a convicted sex offender put on probation in 2009 for sexually abusing his now ex-wife. Battaglia's brother says this last week has been a disaster for his family. The Cook County Medical Examiner's Office says Battaglia died of multiple excised wounds. A former acquaintance of Silva's tells the Sun-Times Silva was really into knives and had a collection of them and always had one with him. Bernie Tafoya, News Radio, 105.9 WBBM.
Tens of millions of Americans in the Northeast remain under air quality alerts because of hundreds of wildfires burning in Canada. Health experts have warnings for the most vulnerable, including children, the elderly, and those with lung problems.
The New York City skyline is shrouded in smoke, and there's a haze over Washington, D.C.
When the sun comes out, it has a strange glow about the city.
Air quality in the cities is now among the worst in the world.
The levels of health concern, it really sent shockwaves throughout the entire city and this region.
Schools in New York and Washington canceled all outdoor activities, and Writers Guild picket lines were halted. The bad air quality extends south to the Carolinas and west to Cleveland and Indianapolis. Bradley Blackburn, CBS News, New York.
It's 12:32 as the noon business hour continues, presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Markets are higher today. Joining us now with the latest on what's moving Wall Street is Jim Awad, Senior Managing Director of Clearstead Advisors in New York. Jim, I think I can see you through the haze and the smoke from those Canadian wildfires. What's it like for you? Do you feel like a brisket after a couple of days of marinating in smoke?
I'm on the east end of Long Island, about 90 miles from New York, and it's not bad out here. But all of my children are in Manhattan, and they tell me they've never seen anything like it. Since 9/11, and you had all the smoke from the towers going down, the air hasn't been that bad. But it's apparently a little better today, but it's going to linger for a few more days. So not a happy period for New York City.
Well, let's talk about a concerning piece of data. And I'm just saying it's concerning because we don't really know where it's going just yet. And that is this sudden jump in unemployment claims. Is this simply a function of the fact that the unemployment office was closed last Monday, or is this the start of a trend?
Well, it's too early to tell. You can't make any serious investment decisions based on one piece of data. But if you look at the pattern of everything that we've seen over the last several months, you would expect a slowdown, and it's been at least a slowdown, and it's been later than expected. And most people are now saying third quarter, which is right around the corner. So if we can develop a conviction that we are going to have some sort of a slowdown, and we come into it with corporate profits as strong as they have been and exceeding expectations, and if we can have the Fed sort of take its foot off the neck of the economy, you might have what they call a soft landing, a slowdown without destroying corporate profits, a moderate increase in unemployment, a gradual continued decrease in inflation, and that picture, if that's the way it turns out, would allow 2024 to be a better year for the economy, profits, interest rates, and inflation.
The Fed policy meeting is next week, and everyone seems to be betting on the idea that the Fed is going to pause during the month of June. They are not going to hike like they have at the previous policy meetings. And they've basically come out and said that through their various media organs. Does the potential for a surprise still exist?
That would be devastating to the markets. I think that if they wanted to get that message out, they have means to do that. They have a Wall Street Journal reporter who they tend to signal through. And they don't like to surprise the market. So I think what you're going to get is a hawkish, skip. So they're going to characterize it as a skip, not a pause. They're going to keep the option to resume increasing rates in July. And that's what the market expects. And if, in fact, if that's what happens, I think the market can deal with it because it will give us another another month to examine the effects of the 500 basis point increases we've had so far, to see whether the claims data continue to rise, to see whether the economy slows. It may be that they don't have to go in July, but they'll keep that optionality.
And it's interesting you mention that because it really does make sense to kind of stop and take your breath. I mean, how many other times in history has the Fed raised rates by 5% over the course of a year, and what kind of impact did that have on the economy?
Yeah, it's always been negative, but don't forget we came into this with excess savings from the stimulus programs due to COVID. So history is not the same, but it rhymes. So this will be similar to past increases in interest rates, but not exactly the same because consumers came into it in such good shape. And the Fed reported this morning, in fact, that the net worth of the consumer sector actually increased in the first quarter as the declines in real estate were offset by the interest income from money market balances and stock market gains. So there should at least be a slowdown, but it doesn't have to be terrible.
Jim Awad, Senior Managing Director of Clearstead Advisors in New York, thank you for joining us today. Coming up next in Technology Thursday, space tourism is about to take a giant leap forward thanks to AI. We'll have the details.
Information to make cash and save cash. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Technology Thursday on the Noon Business Hour. Today, we're taking a look at how AI can help propel space tourism in a big way. Joining us now with the details is Paul Hockman, president of Humongous Media and former tech editor for the Today Show based in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Paul, thank you for joining us today. How will AI make the allow space tourism to leap off the page and become a little more accessible, make it accessible to millionaires and not just billionaires?
Which just only includes you, is that correct?
Right. You should see my deal.
Okay, well, I'll have to look at it from space, because here's what AI is enabling, okay? What it's enabling is, basically, when you take a giant step back before we get into the particulars, what AI essentially promises, and a lot of people are obviously seeing that promise realized, is that it makes hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of decisions, sometimes thousands of them, in seconds. And when you're driving a car, the stakes are high, obviously, if AI is involved. When you're flying a plane, the stakes are a little higher because obviously you don't have much. There's less leeway there. And then finally, in spaceflight, you know, there are literally millions of variables in play. So what space tourism depends on is those good decisions being made by people who aren't necessarily qualified to do so. In other words, if you're a tourist and you're just the millionaire who can afford it now and you want to go up, if all these decisions have to be made by you, then obviously you need years of training. You need to be an astronaut. Well, what AI is promising is that a lot of those decisions are going to be made by AI, so that the space tourist, does not have to be highly qualified to fly in the first place. That's sort of the biggest first benefit of AI.
But as I understand, I mean, whether it's Blue Origin or the Virgin spacecraft, there are qualified pilots, astronauts, who are flying the spacecraft, and all you have to do as the passenger is just stare out the window and contemplate contemplate your existence.
Well, that's exactly right. But as you know, when an aircraft like that takes off, weight is everything. In other words, the less you can bring on board, the better, because it takes a ton of fuel to achieve what they call escape velocity, to get the whole thing out of the atmosphere. Fine. Well, if you can remove one of the two qualified astronauts who are running the show so the space tourist can, in fact, just enjoy the view, as you said, and that's probably their goal, then that's a gigantic benefit. So, in essence, AI is designed in part to remove excess astronauts. Now, back to some of the other benefits of this, among other things, is spacecraft design and engineering. AI is also helping with that, to essentially lower the amount of weight in all kinds of ways that don't lower the amount of strength or reliability. AI is also ensuring comfort of the folks who are on board, because it can monitor their physical and mental health. And that's important, obviously, for a space tourist not used to that experience and certainly not trained. So AI is contributing to lots basically refinements. So reduced weight, reduced decision making, reduced gear. It really all adds up to a better experience theoretically for that space tourist.
Now, this is a case where maybe I've just been propagandized by too many astronaut hero books, but there have been many instances in test flights or in space flight where the astronaut has actually beaten or enhanced AI either in space or in the simulator. So the idea that you're removing a human pilot from the equation and letting AI carry the day makes me, as the millionaire passenger, very uncomfortable.
Well, first of all, let's just be clear. Maybe removing an astronaut, not all astronauts, that's number one. Number two, yeah, let's harken back to Apollo 13. I mean, and it wasn't, remember, Tom Hanks flying it back, although we all remember it that way. The point is that Apollo 13, the systems shut down. The only way they all got back alive was the astronauts made decisions on the fly, in some cases analog decisions that did no more or less than save those people's lives. So to your point, yeah, that's exactly right. If you just cut human beings out of the equation entirely, you may be cutting out the most valuable element or most valuable variable in this equation. So I'm 100% on board, literally and figuratively, if I become a millionaire, with you on that ship if there's an astronaut around. So make no mistake, I think AI is amazing. It's doing some fantastic things, but I think astronauts still matter.
Well, Paul, I will see you on the star-studded next space tourism flight. You, me, Shelley Winters, Gene Hackman, and Jack Albertson. What could possibly go wrong?
Bring the whiskey.
Paul Hockman, president of Humongous Media and former tech editor of the Today Show based in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Thanks for joining us today. Join us at this time tomorrow for Entrepreneur Friday. And still to come, a look at how advancements in AI will affect the future of nautical shipping.
Compounding your interest with an economy of words. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The latest vehicles to implement AI and autonomous technology into their operations are shipping vessels. Helping us understand how it will transform the industry is Joe Schwederman, professor of public services and director of the Chaddock Institute at DePaul University here in Chicago. Joe, thank you for joining us today. When it comes to the shipping industry, whether it's a passenger vessel or the gigantic freighters that carry hundreds of containers across the oceans, I mean, what is the degree to which human input goes into the operation and navigation of these vessels? I mean, do you still have a person behind the wheel as it goes across the ocean?
Yeah, there's a real momentum on this now. Last few months have brought some exciting developments. But yeah, those are the questions people are asking, is where human intervention stays part of the mix. So these big, huge vessels are quite suitable for automation, given the international waters they're in, the collision avoidance technology that's there. And, you know, a preliminary step is to have them be navigated remotely. So somebody is in a control room, mission control style, managing this. But the long-term plan is perhaps to have completely autonomous ships that make all their own decisions, perhaps until they get close to shore.
Is this a safety issue, or is this just simply a case of increasing the margins that these shipping lines get out of these vessels, because then you don't have to house and feed a human crew for a week at a time?
Oh, that's right. And you look at the kind of jobs that come with international marine shipping, and these are hard jobs to fill. People are away from home for a long time. It's arduous work. You're on a vessel that the design of the vessel has to be such that you don't have seasickness. So you sacrifice some capacity to serve the crew, the quality of their life. And the sense is, if we can reduce human involvement on the ship itself, we can carry more cargo. There's climate change, reductions in greenhouse gases and so forth, with fewer ships needed. And costs are just huge. They're 42% of the cost of running these ships, which is way more than, say, a railway train.
Yeah, I was going to say, on the recruiting side of things, the work-life balance is rather poor if you're married to the sea.
That's exactly right. And we see the backups of ships at L.A. with the supply chain issues. So there's a real push to get this done. And I think the technology is there. And the good thing about this is you don't have 50 states arguing about what kind of regulation is best when you're in international waters or one organization, the International Maritime Organization, that kind of sets the rules so that we can have some tests on this.
Joe Schwederman, professor of public services and director of the Chaddick Institute at DePaul University in Chicago, thank you for joining us today. If you missed any part of today's Noon Business Hour, we'll have the replay podcast available shortly at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the Odyssey app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.